Hey guys, this is Chris, Rennie's Hitman. If you're going to be at Mobile Tech Expo in Orlando this week, please stop by the PNS Double Black booth to see Rennie and the rest of the PNS team. Bob and Dave Phillips, Keith Duplessis, Sydney Gwynn, and myself should all be there. We also have some special live panel discussions planned for both Friday and Saturday at the show. So check out our social media pages for an up-to-date schedule. That's it for now. Here's episode number 17 of the Rennie Doyle Podcast.
This is the Rennie Doyle Podcast. I'm Rennie Doyle.
And I am Rennie's hitman, Chris Wollman.
So check this out, man. It is the 16th day of 2020.
Yep.
And did you know that you haven't been up the mountain, dude? The New Year's. Happy New Year's.
This is the first time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We've had podcasts.
Not the first time I've seen you since.
No. But I've been flying solo. We were in Chicago last week.
Yep, we were in Chicago. We visited Chervon, which is the parent company for Flex Tools.
And Skill.
And tools. Skill and Skill Saw and Ego.
Cool company, dude.
Yeah, Ego makes makes battery-powered lawn tools.
And a snowblower and they got, listen to this, they got a battery pack generator that's silent. And like the snow, I mean, I live in the mountains of Southern Cal. We get a little snow up here, and like their snowblower is like the real deal, and it's battery powered.
Yeah, and the battery pack, the power center, I guess you kind of call it. I can't remember what exactly it's called. We should know better. But I'm looking forward to that. I think it'd be awesome in my detail van with a solar panel on the roof plugged into the back of it.
Well, we got all kinds of stuff. You know, we were working on a laser system for measuring paint. For years, and Skill, bam, like that, came up with their engineers came up with a alternative. So we've got it in the shop right now. We've got a class going on, our first of the year.
Yeah, we have four guys that are getting it done. And the good news is the next 2 months we've got totally full, and April after that is half full already too.
Right. Hey, so we're going to talk about patience. A little bit tonight. So before we get too like strung out on what we've been up to, we're going to talk about patience and where patience plays a part in business and life and success and raising kids. And because you've got like, I'm kind of on the tail end of my like kid bearing. It's kind of weird. Like I was talking to Diane the other day, and it's like, I'm cool. I got cut a long time ago, so my fish don't swim no more. You know, so I'm cool with that. But it's like. Like, we're almost done raising kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, our youngest one's 15, almost 16. And,
you know, you say that. I don't think you're ever going to be done raising
kids. Well, I don't either. But I think that we're, like having them at home, because our kids are, like, really independent. Like, taught them to be that way. They're really strong, you know. They're just strong people, right? So they're, like, you know, gone. I mean, just, like, see ya, you know?
Yeah, but they still need you.
Well, hell yeah, it's called ATM.
Yep.
No, it's not true, though. It's really not. You know, our kids are really independent. And I don't mind helping them because they're all in school and doing shit, you know what I'm saying? As long as they're not, you know, a-holes.
Yeah.
You know, we'll help them out, right? But, I mean, you're right in the midst of it. I think you're in, like, the cool spot. I mean, they're all cool, but I think, like, your kid's age is, like, it's, like, but your boy, man, seventh grade, working his butt off in school.
Yeah, he's a little overburdened with homework, and that's when he's BS. Not doing homework, he's a completely different kid.
See, that's why I was a D student.
Yeah, well, hey, I don't expect A's out of him.
Yeah.
I do expect C or better, but I don't expect A's out of him. In fact, I could care less if he ever gets an A. I just want him to pass.
So when do they stop calling junior high and go to middle school?
Oh, I don't know. You know, that's funny, too. You bring that up because I heard somebody correct somebody on that the other day.
It's not junior high.
They actually referred to it as junior high, and they go, oh, you mean middle school? And I'm like, well, it's still junior high, isn't it?
Still, yeah, come on, man. Get out of here. You know, what the hell?
Yeah.
Dude, are you kidding me? I would have said something. You know what happens when you hit 50? You're not there yet. You get a bit.
Yeah,
your
I don't have too
filter,
long.
Like, goes completely. And it's not that you get mouthy. It's just your tolerance for dumbasses is, like, gone.
Yeah, and your patience for them.
Today. We're going back to patience. So, hey, let's, you know, we're in Chicago. That was a fun trip.
Yeah, yeah. I got on an airplane again. Did all right.
Get a little turbulence on the way home.
Getting used to it. Had a little turbulence. Well, it was pretty windy landing too.
Yeah,
that was fun.
It was cool.
But I survived. I'm getting better at it. We get to go visit Chicago again very briefly on our way to Florida pretty soon.
Oh, that's right. Because we got to go. That's kind of weird. Because we start, we go up, and then we go all the way back down. Yep. You know. And so, well,
it's gonna be a long day.
It's gonna be it's gonna be a really long day. So hey man, we're gonna jump into for those that are watching, howdy, and then those that are listening, know that we started recording these things for YouTube, and we're gonna figure that out. So we don't know where in the mix this podcast is gonna be. You know, we stopped giving them numbers because
We'll get it out pretty soon.
Yeah, but we'll get it out. I mean, we got 14s already out right now. 15, did 15 go out today?
No. 14 came out on Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah. We're hit and miss on two a week, but
gotcha.
But we're definitely hitting one a week.
Yeah. So. Well, I've got, you know, we'll now that we got through, you know, Christmas and New Year's, I don't call Christmas the holidays. You know, I call it Christmas. Matter of fact, do you know my story with Starbucks? You know, they can't say Merry Christmas, people, right?
Yeah.
Do you hear what I do to them every year? They ask you, what's your name? And I go, Merry Christmas. And they go, no, really, what's your name? Merry Christmas. And
so
it works.
They
have to say it. Some of them like it, and some get kind of pissy, and I don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
I could see that.
I like the ones that, like, get a kick out of it. I usually tip them a little more again because they get a kick out of it, you know? If they're kind of snooty, I go back and take my tip out of the freaking jar. Yeah, Scrooge.
Take your tip. Take the other guy's tip.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Go give it to the funny guy, you know? So let's talk about, you've got an opening quote, I think, that you came up with that was kind of cool, right?
Yeah, well, this is right in line with what we're going to talk about. And so I'll go ahead and share that with you guys. The quote's by a guy named Albert Hubbard. I think that's how you pronounce his name. I don't really know who he is, but I like this quote. It says, how many a man has thrown up his hands at a time when a little more effort, a little more patience would have achieved success?
So, well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, I got a lot of friends of mine that are entrepreneurs, a lot of friends of ours, people who, you know, Jim Gogan and I have talked about this for years, that people just give up too quick, man. You know, they don't pay that. It's tough. I mean, you're self-employed, you got a biz, it's not easy, man. A matter of fact, being an entrepreneur is like we got a thing in search and rescue, and we get calls and we say endure the suck. You know, because it's when you're mountaineering, you know, if you're really into mountaineering, or, you know, in our case, we train a lot of people. You know, we do more search than we do rescue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so you have to train a lot. And so, and you got to train to go up mountains. You got to go train to go up mountains when nobody else wants to go up mountains. You got to train to go up mountains at night. You got to train a mountain in bad weather. At least our teams did. There's teams that, you know, wuss out. We were kind of black sheep, you know, my first team I was on. Team now is cool, you know, but
yeah,
liability kind of makes us wussies, you know. Well, it does, because you want to go do shit. Yeah, well, you can't do that. You know, you got to, you know, the world's become too nice. And the patient side of it is it has, man. Everybody's got this tender belly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and here's the deal, man. Endure the suck, dude. There's going to be times where being an entrepreneur, I mean, I remember, and you do, my corporate career, my career was really short working for a corporation, but do you remember the days that, like, your boss would come in and they're just, like, in this horrible – I had a boss that was, like emo, you know what I'm saying? He was actually on Prozac, you know what I'm saying? So we could always tell the days that he didn't take a pill or something like that because he'd just freak out on us, right?
Yeah.
And I just remember those days it just sucked. You did not want to be there.
Well, I had a boss once that we didn't know for sure, but either there were days where he didn't take his pill or days where he did. We don't know which one it was.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And so, you know, everybody said, you know, the grass is always greener, right? Oh, man, I can't wait to be an entrepreneur. And I'm just going to, you know, I'm gonna make all the money I want. And I'm gonna, you know what? It doesn't always go down that way. And still to this day, you know, I'm 30 plus years into this gig, man. And there's not too many days that suck, but there's hours that suck.
Well, it's hard work. And when it doesn't happen on the timetable that you were hoping it would happen, it really starts to eat at you. And it's hard on you when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, you could go down a pretty dark hole pretty quick if you let it.
You know, it's funny because we had one of our clients for years was the actor Tom Hanks. And I did a lot of work with Tom. We did, you know, just did a lot of stuff with him over a number of years. And I remember one time, I mean, we weren't like buddies, but I mean, you know, we talked, he knew my name and he knew, you know, he had my cell number. I had his, you know what I'd do? Wonder if I should prank call him, see if it's still active. I haven't done anything with him for a while. I'm sure he wouldn't know me now, but you know, I think that, you know, I was talking to him one time and we're talking about, you know, being an entrepreneur. I mean, these guys, when they reach that level, they do become entrepreneurs. You know, they're a business, they're a brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I said, you know, he's asking me, he goes, how is it to run like small businesses? Because you've got these businesses, these little businesses all over the place. How is it? And I said, you know, it's like anything. I mean, there's days that are awesome. Most of the time I love it, but there's days that, you know, I want to strangle people and like, seriously, put them in a triangle and just like not let them tap out, just put them to sleep, you know? And then there's most of the days are really cool. But I asked him, I said, you know, our biggest thing is what do you go back to like making it? Like what made you great at what you do? And I was like, you know, the main thing is just, I put the seat time in, you know, as race car drivers say, I just put the practice in. I just kept doing it. I kept coming back and I get knocked down. And sometimes I get knocked down multiple times in a row, you know, and you just come back, right? I mean, but I don't think a lot of people talk about, like, you know, all these people, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of, maybe that's why some people just don't dig me, because I say what I feel. You know, I had a guy tell me that I talked a lot about my mom's death a lot, and I'm like, dude, she died, like, just, like, you know, months ago. I mean, she was, like, the main thing in my life, and I don't care if you don't like it. You know what I'm saying?
And he's like, can I point out that you're doing it again?
I am. I am.
I'm just messing with
no,
you.
No, I am. And it's something that, you know, my point is that, dude, it obviously bothers me. It's something that hurt me as much as I thought I was prepared for it. And you know what sucks? I was talking to my daughter yesterday, my oldest daughter, and she just had a trippy dream about my mom. So we're talking about it. And she told me that like days before my mom died or weeks before my mom died, I don't know how soon it was, that my mom had actually told her, hey man, your dad's going to have a harder time with my death than he thinks. Is that a trip or what? Mom intuition, you know?
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, I mean, she even told me that, man. She goes, Rennie, you know, I know you faced with everything that you've done, you know, in your life, that you've seen death, you've seen destruction, you've seen this, you've seen that, but blood's different. And I said, well, you know, I've lost people. And she goes, I know, but, and it's she didn't say this. One of my friends, James, if you're listening, he just lost his dog. He's lost a lot this last year, a lot of people, two of his dogs. And he just said this the other day, because his mom and grandma raised him like my mom and grandma raised me. And he goes, dude, it's like I'm orphaned.
Huh.
And I was like, whoa, even at, you know, we're both in our 50s.
Yeah.
You're parentless. You know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. I don't care. I talk about things when it bothers me. And I think that's how I cope. And like, I would talk about things when it would piss, when people like would attack me in our businesses, competition, or, you know, other, I don't know, influencers or, you know, corporations, it would bother me. And I talk about it, and not like in a negative way, but I'd like, it's my way. Like, you know, we, when we deal with like bad shit in the military or search and rescue, we talk to each other. And that's how we kind of, and some of it's like we talk dark humor, you know what I'm saying? It's how you get through it. And I don't think enough entrepreneurs talk about it. I mean, you've struggled with, you know, demons.
No, I mean, you talk about your mom because it's something you got to work through. And if you bottled it up inside, that wouldn't be a good thing.
No.
You know, I had some time with depression and stuff as I was working through some things with my business. And, you know, it really got to me. And when I finally got help and was talking to people about it,
right,
that's when it made a difference.
So I see these people, and I don't care if you're young or old, I see people struggling in business and they're not talking, dude. They're just, you know, they're kind of bundling it up. There's the other thing is I think people hide. is I think they portray that they're doing better than they are, but in reality, they're not. They're kind of sucking wind in business, but instead of being truthful about it, so they're kind of having to live this double life. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah, man, business is great, and they can't pay their bills. And so they've created this statement that they've got to look, you know, they've got to look the part, but in reality, they're not doing so well. So it's like double pressure on them. Does that make sense?
Yep. And, it comes back to being truthful, right? And you don't have to necessarily be truthful. I mean, you should be truthful with other people, but you need to be truthful with yourself. If you're living that double life, you're not being totally truthful with yourself. And therefore, you're not going to work through your issues.
Yeah. And realize it's going to take time, man. I mean, it's going to take, we've got an article right here that this, I love this ad. We're doing something like it. And it says, the overnight success, 30 years in the making.
Yep.
I mean, that says it all. Everybody wants instant success. You know, everybody wants, nobody wants to be a local hero anymore. You know, I see small businesses in every industry that I can think of because I kind of troll other industries, you know. So I'm really big into controlling, you know, several service industries and so forth. Mm-hmm. And dude, they're just plagued with these people just portraying shit, you know, is not fact. Does that make sense? And you know, you got these influencers at the top that everybody looks at and goes, "Wow, I want what they've got." But I don't know. I know a few of them. I don't know if they got what they say they got. You know what I'm saying? I know for a fact a couple of them don't. They're full of shit. Or mom and dad put them in that position. You know, their placement in life started out a hell of a lot. You know, it's easy to get to the top of Mount Everest when you start out at 25,000 feet. You know, but when you start at the freaking Death Valley below sea level, you know what I'm saying? It's going to take some time. So, you know, a lot of people don't look where – people don't give themselves enough credit, man. They don't – I mean, pat yourself on the back. Don't be an asshole about it, but – give yourself credit how far you've come.
Right. Don't forget to look back and see what you've accomplished.
Yeah, and also don't look back and see, you know, hey, there's footsteps next to yours. You know, who put those footsteps down with you? Who's been by your back the whole time? You know, I can tell you what, right now, I got something that I'm going to say at a special event here pretty soon, and I'm going to call it the umbrella effect. If I've been able to take, I've had an umbrella, and I just realized this the other day, and I'm not going to go into it now. It'll be a different podcast, but when I was 7 years old, dude, I had an umbrella open up over the top of me, and it's changed my life forever. The times I've screwed up, I stepped out from underneath the umbrella and got hit by the hail. If I would have just stayed under that umbrella and thought things out, you know, and not done stupid things and not done, just listen to my mentors. Listen, man, I believe God puts people in your life for a freaking reason, either to teach you. I mean, the most vile person that I've had to deal with in my life was put there for a reason. I can't stand this dude in a weird way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm cool with it. I mean, I'm cooler now than I've been in a long time with it, but I still don't like him. And he doesn't like me, and that's cool. You know what I'm saying?
But it's shaping decisions you make, it's shaping how you conduct yourself. It's
right? And so it's just, you know, man, just be truthful where you're at and the struggles you're having. And don't, you know what the thing is too, is that don't put yourself up against people that you barely know. You know what I'm saying? Or you don't know at all. You know? I mean, there's people I follow. Like, I follow some cool stuff on Instagram. Check this. So, you know, if you know me, I'm really into flying. I love helicopters. You know, I've been around. I was supposed to be a helicopter pilot. Didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it didn't work out. I've been angry off and on my whole life about it. But here's the deal. I got to believe that, hey, man, maybe I would have went to, you know, Afghanistan or Iraq and got shot down. I don't know what protective hands kept me from going that direction, but I honestly think it was protective hands. Something happened that didn't allow me to go that direction. So I follow this dude, my daughter Ryan turned me on to him because she's in flight school right now to be a helicopter pilot. And you love to hate this guy. He's pretty damn young. He's like just ripped. He's a professional athlete. He's sponsored by Red Bull. He's got this matte black helicopter that he just flies himself. He does all this wild stuff. He just lives this cool life, and I don't see any negative stuff about it. I'm sure he's got kids and a wife, and you know, I mean, he's paying for the helicopter. He's got stresses. His life at some point sucks. But look, when I look at him, I'm like, he's got curly hair, dude. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I miss my curly hair, and it's not even vain. It's just this dude. I mean, it's kind of cool to watch him, but then when I'm watching him, I know at some point something sucks in his life. He's putting the good out there right there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's putting the good. Yeah. But I'm sure in the background, there's stuff that's just not too cool going on.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like having to go get a perm every once in a while.
I don't think it's a perm, man. That's what sucks. He's just, I mean, you know, I've got hair envy, lifestyle envy. You know, I mean, the dude's just, you know. But again, I'm sure that somewhere in his life, he's endured the suck. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't gotten that. They showed, man, he did a auto rotation, full ground contact auto rotation the other day. I was watching, and I mean that you can imagine you're not real comfortable flying, man.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean it was pretty cool, but I mean his reality is that you know he does some pretty risky things too. So the dude's got you know. I like to put myself out there, not as much as this guy has. I mean, I've lived on the edge, or I've been. Let me rephrase that. I like putting myself. I visit the edge. This dude lives on the edge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you live. It's a fine line to walk, right?
It is, and he's there. I mean, he's there a lot. I put myself. I go up. I'm a tourist to the edge. You know what I'm saying? But I don't live on that edge like he does.
That's like why I kind of cringe when I hear that, you know, the successful guy decided that, okay, he's made so many millions now, he's going to buy his own airplane or helicopter or whatever. Well, the next headline is usually something bad happened. You know,
well, you know, a friend of mine that's really, 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 he's brilliant, man. Pat, I've known Pat for a long time. We did Search and Rescue together. It's hard to believe I say this. 30 years ago, I started Search and Rescue. I was on my first team. Can you believe that? 30 years ago, man. I was 22 years old. No, I wasn't. 23 years old, excuse me. Right before my 24th birthday. And Pat joined the team. He was assigned to the team shortly after I was. And, man, the dude just became super successful in life, made a lot of dough. Not so successful in marriages, you know? Yeah. But he had the theories that as soon as a company that he invested in, as soon as the CEO bought an airplane, he sold the stock. And it wasn't necessarily because they're going to get killed; it's because their attention span was onto something else.
Gotcha.
So you know, gotta know. I'm looking at an airplane, dude. I get this last kid out of this house, man. I'm going to go back to flying.
Your attention span's always onto something else.
It is. It is. But you know, I love flying. But I'm not getting like something stupid crazy. You know what I'm saying? Ryan's trying to talk me into buying a helicopter. This is like a little two-place helicopter, you know? But that's the last thing I need, if I'm going to be honest. I'm flying next Wednesday. Do you know that?
No,
we're going up with a friend. Me and a buddy that lives up here, we're going to fly and just go have lunch somewhere. So, you know, he's got a great plane, long-time pilot, Vietnam vet. Beautiful plane, man. Beautiful plane. A little Cessna 182. Just gorgeous. I mean, just perfect in every way, you know. So,
well, hey, should we take this back to patience a little bit?
Yeah,
we were gonna hit on some of your past and current business ventures. You know, going back to your detailing,
right?
Way back in the beginning, maybe we can touch on your book that you got to put out and do. And then even current stuff, you know, your detailing success and other stuff going on now.
You know, I'll tell you, so my first detailing was an aircraft, right? And I just had this great mentor. I mentioned a lot, you know, Art Scholl was amazing, amazing pilot. He actually died during the filming of Top Gun. Doing the maneuver, ironically, he was out refilming in the maneuver in the movie where Goose got killed. And he went out to do a flat spin and He unfortunately crashed during that event. Something terribly went wrong. They never found the wreckage, and they never found him, but just parts floating out in the Pacific Ocean. So before that happened, though, Art was still around. I'm doing a lot of aircraft. He's giving me all kinds of leads. Then I'm going to other airports, and I'm getting leads there. And then I realized real quick that some dude, man, he set me up, man. I mean, this dude was, I don't know, looking back, you know, I don't even think I was 16 yet. I don't think I had a driver's license. And he goes, hey, you want to detail my car? And I went, yeah. And it was like it was a Cadillac or a Lincoln. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Something big.
And the dude set me up. And he goes, hey, before you get started, can you wash down the engine? And I went, yeah. Well, I've never done an engine before. Matter of fact, it was my first car detail, right? So I said, he goes, do you know how to do it? And I said, not really. You know, and he goes, okay, well, here's what you do. Pull the engine up, squirt this on it, which I think was, you know, just a, I don't know what degreaser it was.
Yeah.
And then squirt it off. Easy enough. I did that. And then he goes, you know, just kind of clean it up, wipe it down, it'll be done. So I did that. Man, I spent all day on the paint. I mean, all day long. And this is like back in just like the only thing, I mean, it was turtle wax, I think, is what we had. And I was using back then, man. And, dude, I hand polished this thing. I'm not kidding you, man. I was there for like 8 hours just polishing. And then, you know, armor all the tires up. I mean, I made this thing. It looked great. The guy, you know why he set me up?
Why is that?
Is that he knew I was going to get the distributor wet and the car wasn't going to start. And he first thing he did was he comes out and he goes, wow, that looks really nice. And he goes, let's start it up. And it wouldn't start. And he goes, well, I can't pay you.
Oh, that must have felt horrible.
It was horrible because one of the pilots that gave me the job that lived right next door, I did one for him like 2 weeks later. He told me the guy came out, fixed it, like right after I left. I rode my bicycle out there. You know what I'm saying? Like 5 miles away from my house. But it so hurt me when I found out that the guy had taken advantage of me. And I pushed on, right? But I was ready to quit right then and there. One detail under my belt. So I kept doing. I was like, screw that. I'm going to do airplanes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not thinking that you screw that up, it falls out of the sky and everybody dies. Right? You know? It doesn't just not start, right? So, but, you know, I had somebody train me in that. You know, I mean, a very established pilot. Nobody had ever trained me in automotive. So as I started getting better, I just kept going, and then I got better, and I, you know, of course I'd get complaints and stuff like that, but I learned from the complaints. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I sold that company and went on, and I'll tell you, persistence is that, you know, I learned a valuable, you know, there's only a couple times in my life I've really quit on anything, and I regretted it so bad. The taste, it sucked, dude. I hated it. I knew I could have done better, right? And I knew I should have waited a little longer, that I would have turned a corner. And then what really sucks is usually you find out when you're not patient enough, you usually see that the reward could have happened pretty quickly if you just would have stayed there. So That first business endeavor, I came so close. And my second and third business, again, there's so many times that I was ready to, and honestly, I didn't try as hard because I was scared of getting like kicked in the teeth. And so it kind of set me backwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so as I've matured, and then when we got into 97, when we launched Attention to Details, was that, you know, that was my second time around to detailing. You know, I sold the first company. This is my second time. I'd owned a couple businesses in between, did pretty good with them, you know?
Okay.
I remember getting in there and the market was so saturated, and I said, stay the course. You know, I got to show people what high end, what I'm capable of doing. And I want to tell you, over probably like a 10-year period, there was probably at least once or twice a year where I seriously thought about hanging it up. But I'd always say, okay, no, man, hey, go get a part-time job, work your way through this. Don't go broke. Don't hurt your family. Don't hurt yourself. And then it would pop. And I go to the next level. Then you get to the next level. And when I got to the real, real big level, I kind of was building the business off my ego. And I wanted to get big. I wanted to prove something. You know, here's this poor kid from Colton, California. that's going to prove something. So I built it big, right? And for a small business, big sucked. I mean, it endured the suck, right? I got it to where it was big enough to where all I was doing, Chris, was working like 80, 90 hours a week, man. I was just answering to my staff. So I started backing off of that, selling some operations. Never had to close one down, always sold them. And thank God I'd partner with the right people, right? So I had that escape. But then once I learned that lesson, that bigger's not always better, you know, we started a transportation company. We started an executive protection company. We sold those companies. We ran them, but we ran them very smart. And we had an exit strategy, you know, when we started them. My business, my planning, everything else started really maturing, and it started getting easier and easier. And the temptation to quit. Well, then when we started up Detailing Success, you know, that was a struggle, dude. You know, teaching people like we do now,
yeah,
there wasn't a lot of people willing to put that kind of money out. But every time I'd get, you know, mainly it was overwork. It was anytime I'd overwork myself, I'd start getting, the mental side of me would start breaking down. I'd get tired. I wouldn't go to the gym like I was supposed to. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But then when I would yank that carpet from underneath my feet and get myself straight, it kept fixing itself. It kept, you know, auto-correcting itself. You know, it's like using these lasers we're using today. Is once I got it balanced and I got it set up right, it's like the company would self-balance itself and go on autopilot.
And then it would just work.
It would just work. And so I'll tell you so many things. You know, I got to, you know, 2002, got the call to detail Air Force One, you know. At that time in 2002, dude, I was ready. In late 2001, after 9/11 happened, we had three businesses going. I was ready to give up on all three, dude. I was like, I'm going back to corporate life. Screw this. I'm working all this hard. I'm putting everything back into the businesses I'm making. I was making six-figure income at my corporate job. What the hell am I doing this for? You know? And then something just told me, man, no, you know what? Do another push, dude. Do another push. And I met a dude that was incredible and turned out to have connections. And that year in 2002, I gave a proposal for working on Air Force One. 2003, we did it. And 2004, I got to meet then President Bush. I mean, look, if I would have given up and gone back to my corporate job, which wanted me, and I wanted to go back, if I would have given up, I would have given up on what not only changed my life, but how many, almost probably like 85, 90 people. It's really impacted their life that have gone on that project with us.
A lot of people.
Had I just decided not to endure the suck, you know, mm-hmm. The difference between me, though, and I see a lot of people is that I was smart enough to go get a part-time gig when things got financially tight. And I'm telling you, my wife and I, you get this, man, we had little kids. We had three little kids at that time in 2003.
You know, it's amazing what, you know, getting a part-time job, doing something like that, it's amazing how it lifts a burden off your shoulders and actually frees you up to actually then make the progress you need to.
Well, it totally does. I'm crossing things off as we do that. You know, and I take it, you know, I remember I had an employee when 9/11 happened. Okay, 9/11, you know, Twin Towers goes down. Oh, man, dude, there's so much going on in my life. And I remember these companies, and I'd gotten called back up from the Army. I had a decision to make, you know what I'm saying? And I had to go this direction or this direction. And I don't regret the direction I went. I really don't. I love it. But I just remember thinking, oh, my God, here I've got this brand new company. I've got this detailing company that's doing good. I got a transportation company that we just started. I've got an executive protection company that we own. We just bought over a shuttle company, you know, and I'm going, these things aren't going to survive, man. Transportation just shut down. I'm screwed. I'm screwed. Well, we had this Herb Allen and Company out of New York City, out of Manhattan, is they put these huge events on where we're located up in Idaho, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 9/11 happens. That next month, they had about $30,000 or $40,000 worth of work scheduled with us. They had to cancel. A lot of their people were killed in the Twin Towers. Huh. And so I remember going, oh man, I remember thinking to myself, well, my kids aren't going to have much of a Christmas, you know? And here's the deal is, you know, I pulled up the other company. I made sure to work it hard. We had a fine time. I just endured. I sucked up. Dude, you know what happened in January? Herb Allen himself called me up and he says, hey man, I know you guys started this company with us in mind. I know we gave all these promises before 9/11 happened. We had to cancel everything. I've got a FedEx delivery going to you. If you don't accept it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm never going to support you again. Dude, he sent me a $50,000 check. And in it was a note that said $25,000 of this, we're going to use as credit. The other $25,000 is to say, sorry, we hurt you.
That's cool. Very cool.
What if I would have given those companies up back in December when I said, shut them down?
Yeah.
And something inside me said, no, you know what? I've come through worse than this. Suck it up. Go to work. Support the companies. Don't shut them down. Hold the line. Take the high road. Stay positive. It's going to churn. But I never endured financial hardship from my family. What I did do that was a mistake is put myself to work too hard. I let my physical being down a little bit, let my conditioning down a little bit, let my good eating down a little bit, let my mental health down a little bit. I didn't talk and I got depressed. I got anxiety. I got angry. Well, all of a sudden things start turning around. I hate to say it, man. I've been broke, dude. I was born broke. And I'll tell you what, money isn't the answer to everything.
Nope.
But it sure helps. When you're not stressed about paying the bills, I'll tell you, I don't like being stressed about paying bills.
No, I get it, but you know, you're right. It's not everything. You know, you can be paying the bills, and if you're not satisfied with how things are going still, or you know, if you're not feeling like you're doing something meaningful and productive, you know. No. It's still going to affect you the same way.
Hey, man, you know what my goal in life, I'll tell you, and I'm never going to be a, you know, gazillionaire, is my goal, I don't think about that. I think about constantly increasing my value to people, which means that it will increase my income, right? But honestly, at this point in my life, you know what my main drive is making sure that you continue to do better and that everybody that we do business with continues to do better, and that everybody that listens to this continues to do better. And I put my concentration on that, and guess what? Every year I do better.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I've taken my concentration out of me, and I've just put it onto others. And I wish I would have learned that lesson a long time ago. The other thing is when you put yourself into tight financial situations or bad financial situations, you put yourself in those bad positions, and it's a domino effect. Everything gets worse. And guess what? And suck it. Just endure the suck. Realize you screwed up. Go fix it. And don't quit.
Yeah. Or, you know, it may not be just bad financial decisions. Maybe having too many obligations.
Well, I'll tell you, being a jack of all trades.
Like buying an airplane or a helicopter.
Yeah, right, that's it. But here, did you notice when I said I was going to do that? All of this would be paid off then. Dude, I mean, honestly, self-control was going, probably your favorite brand in the world too. I did the big mistake a few weeks ago is, you know what, I was going to go buy an Audi or a Porsche, and instead I went and leased a very reasonable WRX STI. Because it's affordable fun, right?
Yep.
Because my goal is I want to pay all my, I don't have much debt, but I want to pay all my properties off. You know, I've got one paid off right now. I've got this that I got to get paid off. And really, I'd like to make some more property investments, right? I made the mistake of going, looking at that Porsche, dude. And they offered to buy my lease out of my car. Yeah.
They almost got you, huh?
No, honestly, they didn't.
No?
No, they didn't. No, I was never close. But, I mean, you know why I wasn't close? It's because I know, A, I've got other people that count on me to make the right decisions. B, is I've got other people watching me. And I preach no debt. And that includes house debt. So I'm going to be 56, 57 years old and have everything paid off.
Well, I think, too, though, that there's another part of that where you also have the patience. You know that that part of the plan is waiting for it so that it's at the finish line later.
Amen, man. You know what? I'm still young. I literally, you look at guys like Carol Shelby and stuff like that. I just had a friend of mine just post something on Facebook of her husband. He just retired out of his company that he built at 82, and he's up freaking just, I mean, dude, just absolutely tearing up the slopes yesterday. Saw a video and pictures of him. He's almost 82 years old, man. So I've got a while. I got another 30 years to build empires, dude. I got plenty of time to buy badass shit. My commitment is patience, is to pay my crap off. That allows me to, A, help more people out. B, is live by example. Here's the deal. I'll be hopefully 56, maybe 57 when I pay everything off. Everything. I don't know what I'll have property wise by then. We're looking at selling, you know, the place that my mom, you know, was in.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Maybe we won't. You know, maybe we'll rent it out and just let it grow for another 10 years. You know, we're weighing our options. But here's the deal, Ben, is that let's say I do it by the time that I'm 57 years old. I want people doing that same thing when they're 31, 32, 33, 30, before their 35th birthday. Pay your house off. So they have a head start. So by the time that you're 55 years old, you got your house and another investment property paid for. You know how you can live if you did that?
Pretty comfortably.
So here's the deal. Patience. I went down and I looked at that Porsche, man. It had every option I wanted. It was the color I wanted.
Orange.
It was orange. Feedmaker orange, man. Feedmaker orange. Although that white one's pretty nice.
Yeah, we could put an orange stripe on it or
we
something.
We could. Just accent it with Feedmaker. So the point is that even at this age with the means to do so, I didn't pull the trigger. And was I tempted? Not even at all. I admired it. And you know what it did? It fired me up. They said, hey, you want that? Then go take 10 months off of your goal, and you can have it 10 months sooner. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It's a trade-off.
And I figured out if I lease that, then I can go buy an airplane. If I buy it, I can't buy an airplane. See, we keep coming back to that, don't we? So, you know, another thing that happened really, too, is a couple things, is that I want to lead in with an example of patience. Probably the most patient thing. This was a team effort. So in about 2005, 2006, so about 15 years ago, we lived in Idaho for 12 years. And we lived in a beautiful part of Idaho. And up in the Sawtooth Mountain Range is Thompson Peak. Well, one Thanksgiving, a son and father team decided that they're gonna summit Thompson Peak, and a freak storm came in and they got turned backwards. It turned out that they got onto the slope, northeastern slope of Thompson Peak, which is not the way down. It's a sheer drop off. Their family reported them missing. They got 1-9-1. We don't know how. Their phone, the reception up there. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the northern Rockies, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got 1-9-1-1 call out. And so the cell company kind of triangulated and told us the general area they're in. And we took and got helicopters up there, spotted them, and they dropped us off. Air crews, it's a hike. My kids up there. My brothers, we spent a lot of time up there. I was just up there last year of October. We missed the summit because we got turned back in October because of winter. They're there in November.
Yeah.
Long story short, the weather was so bad. They're on small ledges. I mean, very small ledges. Couldn't get up to them. Couldn't land anything above them. Helicopters that with the range, these are peaks that are at about 11,000 feet. Nothing could get up there. We couldn't get up there as mountaineers. It was even with crampons and all our gear, couldn't get it. So we called in. We're patient. Our rescue team couldn't do it. So I suggested, I say, hey, man, let's get the mountaineering group up here that does all the backcountry skiing and mountaineering stuff, the guides.
Mm-hmm.
So they flew in, the guides got about 100 meters farther than we did. So they didn't get much further.
It's not much.
So, hey, man, we're sitting there with the sheriff, Walt Fleming, at the time. We're sitting there. He brought kind of his advisement council, you know. And he goes, hey, dude, I think we're not going to get them. We're just have to come up in spring and get the, you know, the bodies. We'd all be given up. And I'm going, man, dude, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, we cannot let this young kid, we can't let this father fail with his son right there. And we can't go tell the mom that we couldn't get to him, dude. We had a couple rescue helicopters, but there was a lot going on that weekend because it was a holiday weekend. And I just happened to remember, I said, hey, man, what about, you know, Sun Valley is not far from Jacksonville, Wyoming. And the Teton rescue team is, they got a guy named Rennie. I think it was Rennie Jackson, something like that. We share the same name. That's it. And I've read about this dude. That he's a serious stud. And so we started making calls. We got a hold of him. They are actually on the Idaho side of the border between Wyoming and Idaho. And they said, yeah, we just dropped off. We can be there. We'll be there in 20 minutes. And the sun's going down, right? This dude gets out of the helicopter. They land. They went up and assessed it. You know, they did come some flybys. Mm-hmm. They're coming down. They're doing their rope setup. And I remember sitting there. There's about four or five of us talking to him. And I said, what do you think? And he goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, we can pick him off. And I said, is it it's going to be difficult? And he goes, nah, this is actually an easy one. I felt, because we had some pretty badasses. I consider myself a badass, right? Could come true. Dude, we are patient, and we kept looking for resources. We were within 5 minutes of calling the rescue and turning it into recovery several months later when the snow thawed in early summer.
Yeah.
20 minutes after they got there, that son and that father were sitting right in front of us. Scooped them off, took them to a hospital because they were pretty cold. But the fact is that we stayed patient, and that was life or death, man. Your business is your livelihood, but you ain't going to die.
Right. That was a bigger deal.
And we stayed patient. And so you know what? You got to stop. A lot of top. You know, we did another podcast and stop, drop, and roll, man. Just stop and think about things, man. You're always going to have a way out. But if quitting's not, there's an old saying, and I love to say it, you know, is when your boat starts taking on water, it's not the time to bail out your boat. It's time to plug the holes and start bailing water out of the boat. Stay at the boat. Don't bail.
Keep it afloat.
Keep it afloat, man. And so figure out a way. I remember when our book deal, man, is back in 2008, somewhere right in there. I decided I wanted to write a book.
Yeah, I don't even know how you get past page one.
Right.
It's a lot of work.
It is. It killed me. And I kept going to publishers and getting turned down and publishers and getting turned down. I finally stopped, man. And about a year after I tried to sell it the last time, out of the blue, this publisher calls me up and says, hey, man, you ever thought about writing a book? And I went, yeah. And they said, would you like to write one? Well, I had the whole outline done. And I said, well, it depends. Dude, they fronted me money to write it. They gave me X amount down. And they said, hey, got to have it done a year from now. And even having the outline done, dude, I was a scramble. I mean, it was a lot of work to do it. But here's the deal. If I had just given up and hadn't learned what I did, I went through and learned to negotiate with the publishers because of the past experience I had. Bob Phillips and I from PNS, man, we were talking a couple years ago. Guy came to us. They wanted to do a TV show, you know, on the Mafia. We went, man, we jumped through hoops like you wouldn't believe. And it finally came down to, you know, we're a pretty close group that likes to help a lot of people out, and they wanted us to be vicious. And we turned it down. We just said, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, typical reality car show.
Exactly. And we just said, you know, we were patient. We want to learn from the dude. We want to learn what to do the next time in case somebody comes back up to us and wants to offer something. So we're patient, and we listened. We heard what they wanted. We presented what we wanted. We heard their counter to that, and we just said, no thanks. Simple as that. It wasn't the right opportunity at the right time, if that makes sense. And, you know, when you're patient and you don't accept lower standards than what you want, it's going to come around. You just can't put yourself in a financial hardship doing it. You can't take and beat yourself up mentally and damage yourself from it. And you've just got to keep your eye on the target, and you got to keep moving forward.
Yep. definitely. I don't know if I have anything to add right now.
Well, you're kind of boring.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, somebody asked me to put you in an odd position on a podcast. I don't know if this is the right one or not.
Oh, who is that?
I'm not going to say.
That's not fair.
Yeah. It's not. But love for sale.
Huh.
Well, hey, so, you know, here's the deal. Message out. I don't care if you're young, old. I don't care if you're new in business or more seasoned. I'm not a patient person. I want things now. I'm like the spoiled little girl on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, isn't that how almost everybody is these days?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. But you know what? You know, you just got to check yourself, man. Check yourself at the door. You know what I'm saying? Don't watch other people. I'm telling you right now, man, I know some people in the industries that we're in that the people that y'all listening to this think that those guys are, you know, badasses. They're not. They're not. First off, I don't drink, so I like to get people drunk, and I like to. That's truth serum.
Listen to what they have to say.
Oh man, dude. So I can tell you, there's a lot of bullshit in the world, man. And these dudes, you think that they're the real deal? Most of them aren't. Most of them are struggling. Most of them hate what they do. They're just putting a smiley face on, and they go back and cut themselves with knives, you know, at night because they're just freaking. They're hiding behind something that they're not.
Yeah, it does remind me of something I was going to say earlier. You know, you're talking about being truthful with yourself about, you know, your struggles and stuff. Is if you're truthful about it and, you know, you're open that way, you're going to be more receptive to things that can help you, and you're also going to probably have more opportunities come your way of things that can help you because, you know, it seems like when people are aware of what's going on, It just helps make, I don't know how to explain it, helps make things progress.
It does. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. You know, and here's the other thing is that, you know, try to find, be real careful who you share, who you share your weaknesses with. You know, people are, you know, I'm an aggressive dude, you know, all the way across, but I'm really soft-hearted and I get my feelings hurt pretty easy. And I trust people. And I'm one of those that I trust you when you're a friend that you're not going to stab me in the back. And, dude, people, they just grind the daggers in, you know? So I've learned to be real careful of who I tell the full story to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this right now. If you're having problems, don't go to a person that's in your industry. Go to somebody that's built up companies that understands the challenges, but put a little distance between, you know, don't shit where you eat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's an old saying, you know, it tastes like caca, you know, when you do. And people are vindictive, you know, and a lot of people, you know, so be real careful of who you share things with because people will turn it against you real quick, you know? So, well, like always, you know, I think this is a big subject that I've been wanting to talk about for a while, and I'm glad we had the opportunity to do so. So, hey, do me a favor, and if you guys like what you hear, send it to somebody. Send it over to somebody and just say, hey, man, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. If you haven't done so already, whatever platform you're listening to this on, we're on all the major platforms, please leave a review. Yep. Let us know. And we'd love to take in here. Also, if you've got a topic that you want to talk about, let us know, man. We're open. We've got several hundred already it's pretty easy to find topics, you know?
Yeah, but send us an email if there's one that you want to hear about specifically sooner than later.
That's exactly it. And then, you know, we're not for everybody, man. We talk about things that a lot of people won't talk about. You know, we talk about realities of owning a business. And that's what this podcast is all about, man. You know what? All these dudes that want to take and, you know, it's unicorn dust and fairy tales and all that, dude. They're not setting you up for success. And we're just gonna be real with you. And I'll tell you what, my life is badass. I've got a badass life, but I've worked my ass off to get this badass life. And I'll tell you, it's gonna take more time than what you think it's gonna do. So simple as this. Be patient.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, Chris, we're out of here.
We're done. We'll see you guys on the next one. And if this comes out before Mobile Tech in Florida, you guys can come find us there. Rennie will be doing some live podcasts and interviews from the PNS booth. And he'll be at some other spots as well. And just a little plug, if there's something we can help you with, reach out to us. If there's some training that you'd like for your business, reach out to us. We have a lot of opportunities.
It's probably a good thing to mention our company. So we want to thank PNS Products, Detailing Products, Double Black, Flex Tools,
yep.
Skill Tools, Ego.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your eco-friendly power tools at Home Depot and Lowe's.
Snow blowers and...
That's it, man.
And lawnmowers.
Yeah, but Detailing Success is our one of our companies, and then go check out PS Detail Products on Instagram and Facebook.
Yep.
And we just paid some bills.
There you go.
All right, guys. Hey, man, have a blessed day wherever you're listening to this at. Take care, and we'll talk to you on the next podcast. See you later, everybody.